Father, I ask you again, bless now our time together. Lord, again, speak to us through your word. Bless the young people. Lord, help the thoughts in chapel, Father, not just to be a help, but Father, it will be life-changing. Lord, again, help us this morning. In Jesus' name, amen. Ephesians, Columbus, chapter 5. Got a new Bible up here. All right, Ephesians chapter number 5 this morning. Look at verse number 10. It says, proving what is acceptable unto the Lord, verse 10, proving what is acceptable unto the Lord, and have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather reprove them, for it is a shame even to speak of those things which are done of them in secret. But all things that are reproved are made manifest by the light, for whatsoever doth make manifest is light. Wherefore he saith, awake, thou that sleepest, and arise from the dead, and Christ shall give thee light. See then, that ye walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise, redeeming the time, because the days are evil. And I want you to read verse 17 out loud with me. You ready? Wherefore, be ye not unwise, but understanding what the will of the Lord is. One more time together. Wherefore, be ye not unwise, but understanding what the will of the Lord is. Stephanie, grab my glasses just in case I need them here in a moment. They should be up in the, right here on the platform. All right, young people, I want to talk to you about for a few moments on this thing of understanding the will of God. Now, many of you have heard messages after messages after messages on the will of God. What is the will of God for your life? All right, look at me. She's just getting glasses, okay? Thank you so much. What is the will of God for your life? Now, you're raised in a Christian home, go to a Christian school, and come to an independent Baptist church, and the whole goal is that you do God's will for your life. That is the whole goal. And by the way, if God's will is for you to be a banker, be a banker. If it's God's will for you to be in the military, be in the military. If God's will for you to be a missionary, be a missionary. But the fact is, don't live your life for yourself. Live your life for God. That's what your parents are trying to do. Listen to me. They're spending money for you to come get a Christian education. And I want to tell you, it's not just because they don't want you in the public school. It's because they want you to do God's will for your life, okay? And I know sometimes we get defensive. And I think sometimes we get defensive about the will of God is because we're backslidden. In other words, your parents want you to do God's will, and it's more like you want to do your will, and so you're trying to justify why you're doing your will and not God's will. It's not just about what your parents want for you. It's about what does God want for you, all right? So I want to talk to you a little bit from this chapter here about understanding the will of God. Now, before I do that this morning, I want to illustrate, but I want you to think for just a moment, all right? I don't think I can move this very well. I'll just leave it out here in the front. Whoa, don't think I'll do that. All right, buddy, old pal, come over here. All right? Listen. There's a difference between finding out what God's will is and what God's command is, all right? Now, think about it for a moment here. 240 times in the scriptures it says, thou shalt not. Now, that's a lot. And we also know that there are other things in scripture that God commands us to do, but it doesn't start with that phrase. But there's a lot of it. The Ten Commandments, all righty? We understand, thou shalt have no other gods before me. Thou shalt not take the name of the Lord thy God in vain. Thou shalt not kill. Thou shalt not steal. Thou shalt not commit adultery. We understand that God has a lot of commands in our life, but there's a difference between God's will and God's command, all right? When we use the word will, we're talking about a person's desire or preference. When we talk about the word command, we're talking about requirement or demand, all right? Big difference, okay? So like, for instance, if I say, I want you guys to go back to your classroom and write a page paper on what is the will of God, okay? That's not just my will. That would be a command. Go back, write a page paper on what the will of God is. That would be, okay, I'm going to go back, and I'm going to start writing this paper, okay? Does that make sense? Now, if I said it would be good for you sometime today to stop and really think about the will of God and write a page paper on that, most of you would not do it because, well, we don't have to do that, right? Especially on this side over here, all right? Well, we don't have to. He just said if we wanted to. But wait a second here. You know what I want you to do, okay? Can I just tell you that's how it is with God? All right, so like for instance, okay, if I said, okay, it's my will that you drink water, but it's up to you whether or not you have the Mountain Dew, all right? I mean, it would be a choice, all right? Kathleen, come on up here. I'm going to let you pick. Is that Kathleen? No. Macy, I'm sorry. Macy, come up here. All right, forgive me. Where did I get Kathleen at? Wrong sign. Okay, now listen, you're going to get to choose which one you want. I think water is better for you, but you can have the Mountain Dew if you want. So which one would you like to have? You just take it. You'll take it. It's yours. No, you can have it. You can go back there. All right? Now, young people, can I just tell you that that's what God does with you on a regular basis? Is it wrong for her to have the Mountain Dew? But is it really my will for that Mountain Dew? Now, in the illustration, I would drink the Mountain Dew, by the way. Mountain Dew, by the way. Okay, I'm just letting you know. It's just the way it is, okay? But if I say, I think water's better for you, and that's what you should have, but you can take a choice, that's what we do with God all the time. And really, what we're trying to do is trying to get you to the place where you say, okay, I'm going to do God's will for my life, all right? So I got a granola bar, and I got a chocolate candy bar, all right? Now, we all know the granola bar is better for you, and I say, hey, listen, I think the granola bar would be better for you, but you can have whichever one that you would like to have, all righty? Janelle, come on up here for a second here. Oh, Janelle, I don't know if I should use you. You're kind of healthy, though, aren't you? All right, we're going to find out how this works, all right? Which one would you like to have? You can have it. You don't know? Do you like Butterfinger? No?
I don't like
granola bars, though. Okay, then you don't have to either one. All right, go ahead. Don't just take it, all right?
I think the Butterfinger.
Yeah, well, if you don't like either one, it's not going to do any good. Come up here, Reagan. Come up here for a second here. Reagan, you can either have a granola bar or a chocolate Butterfinger. Which one you're going to have? Now, again, I'm just going to tell you that the granola bar is better for you, and that's what I think you should have. But you can have either one. Choose either one. All right, good job, all right? So, do you not like Butterfingers? Yeah. Okay, ruin my illustration, twit. All right. All right, let's try this one more time. Bag of gummies or an apple? Okay, I think this one I might win on, okay? All right, so if I was going to say you can have a bag of gummy bears, fruity and chewy classic gummy bears, or you can have an apple, all righty? Now, the apple's better for you, and I think the apple's what you should have. But you can choose either one, all right? You can choose either one. You can have either one, all right? All right, Sarah, which one would you like? No, you have to make a choice. All right, that's what I thought she'd take. All right, there you go. God bless you. All right, now, young people, can I just tell you that God gives you a choice, all right? Think about it. In the Garden of Eden, who ate the fruit? Eve and Adam and Eve both ate the fruit, but Eve ate the fruit. But God gave them a choice. You have all these trees in the garden to eat of, but this is the one I don't want you to, that was his will. This is the one I don't want you eating of, all righty? And she chose that. Now, can I tell you, young people, you have a choice. You have a choice whether or not you're going to do God's will or not. And it's not a matter of, sometimes, not all the time, but sometimes it's not a matter of it's being sinful or wrong. It's just a matter of that's not what God's will is for your life. All right, finish the verse. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart, lean not unto thine own understanding, and all thy ways. Okay, do you believe that God knows everything about you, yes or no? Do you believe that God has a plan for your life, yes or no? Do you believe that every day God takes notice of every minute of your day? You believe that? The eyes of the Lord are in every place. All the time, God acknowledges everything that we do. Do you believe that God has a specific will about everything that you do in life? Do you believe that? Okay, you should, alrighty. Now today, you got up and you got dressed and you wore your school uniform, so there's not a lot of choices, but there's other days of your life. I think that every day God has a certain pair of clothes you're supposed to wear. I think every day God knows exactly what you're supposed to eat every day. And, you know, those choices that we don't have, that's still the will of God. In other words, if your parents made your lunch today, it's God's will for you to eat that particular lunch. If you got a school uniform, obviously you need to wear a school uniform, but there are choices that we make. God has a will or a plan for our life. Do you really want to do God's pleasure, God's will for your life? You ought to, all right? Now, in these verses here, there are three ways to find out what is God's will, all right? Now, this is real important this morning that you catch this, because if you're going to live the life that God wants you to live, you ought to live understanding what the will of the Lord is. In other words, God, what do you want for my life? Do you want me to go to college? Do you want me to take a job? Do you want me to go wherever he wants you to go? You know, one day you're going to make some of the major decisions of life that can't be changed. When you marry somebody, it's till death do you part. All right, so unless you kill them, you're with them. All right, and then if you kill them, you're in big trouble. All right, so if you understand that there are major decisions you're going to make, you know, I still believe that a person does not make major decisions correctly unless they make the minor ones correctly. Because the minor decisions is what brings you to the major decision. A person gets married to a person. How did they come across that person? How did they meet that person? How much time did they spend with that person? Did their parents approve of them? All the decisions that took place prior to that one decision of marriage was whether or not, am I going to do the will of God? Do the will of God? Do the will of God so I can do the will of God. Now, quickly, let me just point these three things out. First one is this. Look at your Bible. Look at verse number 10. How do I know if it's the will of God? All right, verse number 10 says this. All right, it's a short verse. Let's just read it together. Ready? Proving what is acceptable to the Lord. Say it again. Proving what is acceptable to the Lord. Now, young people, the first way you can find out if this is the will of God in your life, it does it please God? In other words, what I'm going to do, the decision I'm going to make, the place I'm going to go, what I'm going to wear, does it please God? Understanding what the will of the Lord is, okay? So, you know, if I can use this as an illustration, it's going to hit close to home, but I think you can get the idea, okay? The high school has an opportunity to go to a preaching conference, okay? Some of you guys don't want to go to a preaching conference because you don't want to hear preaching, but the problem is it's not about the preaching. It's about what is the will of God for my life? Now, I'm not trying to use that to tell you to go, because if you're not going, I don't want you to go. But every decision of life is based upon not do I want to, but does he want me to? Is it pleasing to the Lord? That's what your life is supposed to be based upon, is does this please the Lord? So look, when he says proving what is acceptable to the Lord, the word prove means to test. The word acceptable means to be well-pleasing or to please somebody. In other words, everything you're supposed to do, you're supposed to test whether or not it pleases God or not. Okay, so, okay. You know, for instance, okay, the clothing that we wear, okay. Now, obviously today you get uniforms on, so it doesn't matter. But, you know, there are some people that get really hung up on clothing, all right? And I'm not talking about, you know, for instance, a woman should not wear pants. That should be a given. If you guys don't have that as a conviction by now, something's wrong with you, okay? Deuteronomy 22:5. If a man puts that which pertains to a woman, if a woman wears that which pertains to a man, it's an abomination to God. If I came in here in a dress, you'd think I'd lost my mind. Am I right? Why? Because a dress pertains to a woman. A dress pertains to a woman. But go down Massachusetts Street, you're going to find guys walking down there in skirts. Okay? I think that's the weirdest thing in the world. But because of time and because of our sinfulness, a woman wears a pair of pants now, and it's very acceptable. Not now. It used to be with lost people. Now it's acceptable with saved people. Can I just tell you, that's a no-brainer. God says that's an abomination when you cross-dress. A woman's not supposed to wear a pair of pants. That's not what I'm talking about, okay? Hopefully you got that figured out by now. But sometimes what you don't figure it out is there's certain things I just don't wear because of its association or possibly because of its appearance. You know, there's three principles of dress. Principle number one of dress is principle of covering. You have to make sure you're covered, thankfully. All right. Number two, second principle of dress, distinction. It's distinctly male or it's distinctly female. That's why I get on these guys wearing necklaces. That's the most, to me, our mindset today is so weird, okay? Guys don't wear necklaces. They don't wear bracelets. They don't wear nose rings, all right? They don't wear anything that type of jewelry. Girls shouldn't wear nose rings either, but they don't wear that type of jewelry because they're fellas. That's distinctively male, distinctively female, all right? You're not supposed to be in between. But, you know, there's certain things that we wear. I told you there's three. Covering, distinction, and modesty is the last one. But, like, for instance, okay, there's certain things that I don't want to go there. There's certain things that I would not wear that just be simply because of its association, all righty? Can I just tell you that some things are not necessarily wrong, but it's not pleasing to the Lord. It's not necessarily what the Lord would have you to wear or to do or to go, all righty? So the first question is this. If I'm going to do God's will for my life, what pleases him, all right? A couple times in my teenage kids' lives, because when they're younger, you get to do my will whether they like it or not. All right. When you're in elementary, you know, I don't care what you want. You're not doing that. All right. That's because I'm dad. When my kids get to be teenagers, especially the older teenagers, I give a little bit of liberty for them to make the wrong choices. But there's been a few times that I've said, I don't want you doing that, but you can if you want. That's what God does with you on a regular basis. I don't want you doing that, but you can if you want. Hey, Samson did it. Guess where he ended up? David did it. Lost the child. His daughter's raped. Both sons are killed. I'm just telling you that there's consequences when we don't do what God wants for our lives. So you have a teacher in the classroom. And the teacher says, okay, this is what I want. And you know, we have a tendency to do exactly what they want and nothing more. But you know the teacher would like to have more. Or you know the teacher would like to. Well, he didn't say we had to do that. But you know that's what he wants. That's what God wants you to do. He wants you to get to the place where you figure out, this is what I want you to do, and I want you to do it because it pleases me. All righty? You ever ask yourself, does it please the Lord? All right, that's the first question. Second thing, understanding what the will of the Lord is. Number one, does it please him? Look at verse number 11 and 12. And have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of what? All right, darkness, verse 11. But rather reprove them, for it is a shame even to speak of those things which are done of them in secret. I want you to think about the verse and I ask you what it means. Look at verse number 11 again. And have no fellowship, that means partnership, association. Have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness. What's the unfruitful works of darkness? What do you think? Unfruitful works of darkness. Want to take a guess, Owen? Sin. I mean, in a general sense, really, that's what it's talking about. In the scripture, darkness is always referred to either evil or sin, things that would be wrong. When the Bible says that we should not walk in the ways of darkness, he's talking about don't walk in the ways of a lost person, don't walk in the ways of sinfulness. We understand that from 2 Corinthians chapter 6 and verse number 14. It says, be not unequally yoked together with unbelievers, for what fellowship hath righteousness with unrighteousness, and what communion hath light with darkness. So God says, hey, listen, if you want to find out what my will is, number one, find out if it pleases me. Number two, if you want to find out what my will is, then it's real simple. Is it sinful? In other words, is this something that a Christian should not be doing? All right, that's a no-brainer, by the way. All righty, I know what God's will is for my life because it's going to be the opposite of sinfulness. All right, so should a Christian look at? Should a young person, anybody, should we look at things that are wrong? Should we say things that are questionable, that would be worldly and sinful? In fact, isn't it interesting in that next verse, verse number 12, he says, I don't think you should even talk about these things. He said in verse 12, for it is a shame even to what? Speak of those things which are done of them in secret. So all the sinfulness and ungodliness going on in the world, God says that a Christian should not even talk about those things. And then when you get down to the verse number 16, he says, understand what the will of the Lord is. It's real simple, proving what's acceptable. Is it pleasing to God? He says, hey, listen, is it part of the works of darkness? Is it sinful? I can figure out what God's will is for my life real simply. God doesn't want me doing it, all right? One last thing I want you to think about, all right? Understanding what the will of the Lord is. Does it please him? Is it sinful? Look down at verse number 14, all right? I'm sorry, verse 13 and 14, actually. Verse 13 says this. It says, but all things that are reproved are made manifest by the, what's the word? Light. For whatsoever doth make known, is what? Light. Wherefore he saith, awake thou that sleepest, verse 14, and arise from the dead, and Christ shall give thee, what's the word? Right? Now, young people, the word light is used these three times. And light is in reference to Jesus Christ. He's the light of the world. It's in reference to Jesus, as far as being the Word. John chapter 1, verse number 1, talks about that. Hey, just turn over there real quick. I'm going to show you one thing here, and then I won't be much longer. But look at John chapter 1. Look at verse number 1. We often say, you know, walk in the light as he is in light. That's 1 John, actually. Walk in the light as he is in light. We shall fellowship one with another. But Jesus is referred to the light in John chapter 1 also. Look at verse number 1. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. All right, so who was the Word? Jesus Christ was the Word. Verse number 3, all things were made by him, and without him was not anything that was made. In him was life, and the life was the light of men, and the light shineth in darkness, and the darkness comprehended it not. There was a man sent from God, whose name was John. The same came for a witness, to bear witness of the what? Light, that all men through him might believe. He was not the light. John the Baptist was not the light, but was sent to bear witness of that light. Capital L. Who's the light? Jesus. That was the true light, which lighteth every man that cometh into the world. He was in the world, and the world was made by him, and the world knew him not. So here's, I guess, what I'm trying to get you to see, that in the parallel with Ephesians, when it says Christ giveth light, that it's real simple to understand what the will of God is. Christ being the Word of God. In the beginning was the Word was with God, the Word was God. The thought is simply this: if I'm going to understand the will of God, number one, will it please him? Number two, is it sinful? Number three, what does the Bible say? If the light is the Word of God, thy word, Psalm 119, 105, thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. If the Word of God is the light, then that's how I know what the will of God is for my life. The Jabez Prayer, model prayer. Our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name, the kingdom come, thy will be done. Yeah, it's the model prayer. The model prayer says, thy will be done on earth as is in heaven. Six things in Scripture, the Bible says the will of God. There's God's general will, God's specific will. God's general will is that I'm a servant, I'm a soul winner, I'm sanctified, I'm satisfied, I submit to his will, and I suffer for his sake. All of those things in Scripture say this is the will of God. You know, people, there's a lot of things that you know what God's will. It's not like you, oh, I wonder what God wants me to do here. You know what God wants you to do here. Because why? Because the Bible says so. Alrighty? You know, the difference between some of you today and 5 years from now is going to be one thing. Listen to me. 5 years from now, the only difference between you sitting in this school and outside this school is in here you're made to do the will of God. Out there you get to choose whether or not you do the will of God. You got to go to church. You skip church, you're going to get kicked out of school. You girls can't wear pants in school or out of school. You wear pants in school, out of school, you're kicked out. So guess what? Somebody makes you do the will of God. What happens when you're out of school? What happens when you get through 12th grade and you're gone? You know the difference is? You get to choose whether or not you're going to do the will of God or not. College students, they're made to do the will of God. Made to do the will. Is he tired? Made to do the will of God. All right? I'm sorry, I didn't turn my phone off this morning. Made to do the will of God. One day you're going to get to choose. You know, I hope you guys make it. You know, it's going to be pretty sad for your teachers, for your pastor, your parents. When some of you guys are going to get done with school and you're not going to go back to church, you're going to marry wrong, some of you are going to have kids out of wedlock, you're just going to have a horrible life. And the way the transgressor is hard, it's just going to be hard on you. And we're going to be sorry, you're going to be sorry. You know what it's going to come down to? You did your will. You didn't do his will. I'm just trying to tell you this morning, I can make you do the will of God. To a degree. I mean, obviously your parents have to, you know, but in a church setting, school setting, college setting, I can make you do the will of God. All right? But it's going to come down to one thing, whether or not you choose to do it. So one of these days, it's going to be up here and they're going to say, okay, God's going to say, you want to live for the world, the flesh, and the devil? It sure tastes good. Or are you going to do what I want for your life because this is good? That's pretty good. That's a good apple. Like apples? I'm feeling better already. I like Butterfingers, by the way. Probably better than the apple. But the apple's better for me. Choosing to do the will of God, the world might taste better, but it's not as good for you. And God knows what's best for you. The question is, are you going to choose God's will or your will? Why don't you bow your head and close your eyes for a second?